It turns out we've got our own unique set of problems surrounding antibiotics in nursing homes. Treatment for UTIs, the most common infection in nursing homes, includes antibiotics. When broad-spectrum meds like Cipro, which is a fluoroquinolone, are prescribed, that significantly increases the chances for C. diff. Actually, antibiotics in nursing homes don't just significantly increase the risk for C. diff, they increase it by 8 times the norm. When we give antibiotics, we're also setting the stage for sneaky resistant bacteria that can lurk in a resident's bloodstream for more than a year after the antibiotic course is completed. And I know we all pay attention and get nervous around blood thinners like Coumadin, warfarin, and heparin, but in the nursing home, antibiotics account for 1 in every 5 adverse drug events. Now, this wouldn't be a nursing home educational event if we didn't talk about the regulations. On September 28, 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, issued updated federal nursing home regulations called Requirements of Participation for Long-Term Care Facilities, also known as the Final Rule or the Mega Rule. Phase 2 of these new requirements is implemented on November 28, 2017. It's 5 days after Thanksgiving this year. The antibiotic stewardship requirement is effective in Phase 2. The Mega Rule states that long-term care facilities are required to develop an infection prevention and control program that includes an antibiotic stewardship program, or ASP. Further, the stewardship program must include antibiotic use protocols and a system to monitor antibiotic use. But this doesn't mean you should wait until November to get your stewardship programs up and running. You need to start thinking about them now. So let's zoom in on what are the basic goals for antibiotic stewardship. Well, we want to optimize resident safety, reduce antibiotic resistance, and decrease or control costs. Okay, I feel it. You're convinced, and you want to get started. But if you Google antibiotic stewardship, you're going to get thousands of hits. Even if you narrow it to antibiotic stewardship for nursing homes, you'll still get a ton of hits. So we've done a lot of the legwork for you. We've compiled a list in a resource document that details the most relevant, user-friendly, current resources for antibiotic stewardship programs and long-term care. And those are available to you on the Leading Age website under the Stand Up Tuesday area. I'll also be giving out my email address if you would like to get them from me directly. Our staff picks on this long-term care antibiotic stewardship resource list includes the AHRQ Nursing Home Antimicrobial Stewardship Guide, the CDC Core Elements for Antibiotic Stewardship in Nursing Home, the CDC Checklist for Antibiotic Stewardship in Nursing Homes, and also the QIO NCC Nursing Home Training Sessions on Antibiotic Stewardship. Here's the great news. The cost for all the resources we're about to discuss and all of them that are on the resource list, the cost is zero. Every single one of them is free. Now, again, relax, because every resource and website link we're going to discuss is on the resource document that goes along with this call. The resource document is broken down into sections: the core elements for antibiotic stewardship, toolkits, nursing training sessions, consumer education for residents and families, and then additional resources for those of you who just can't get enough. So for starters, on the AHRQ, or the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality website, there are two toolkits specifically for nursing homes. Frankly, what these folks have done is phenomenal. Do you need a document that spells out how to build an effective antibiotic stewardship team? It's there. Do you need a sample ASP policy letter for your prescribers? It's there. Do you want to conduct a readiness assessment? It's there, too. So we say thank you, Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, or AHRQ. Next, you would be hard-pressed to develop an antibiotic stewardship program without referring to the CDC's core elements for antibiotic stewardship in nursing homes. Now, surprisingly, this section of the CDC website is also laid out well and easy to follow. Many of the resources are named in a way that makes sense to nursing homes. Shocking, I know. After that, there is a brand new resource available, the National Coordinating Center for QIOs, or Quality Improvement Organizations, developed sessions in April specifically for nurses, and there are continuing education units available at no cost. On the QIO training sessions, there are a total of 6 sessions that contain a variety of activities, videos, tools, and forms, all designed to take between 30 and 90 minutes max in an in-service situation. You can mix and match, go directly to what you need, or start at the very beginning. This is the kind of website training module, frankly, that makes in-service educators go wild. And again, this is through the National QIO program, and it's detailed on the resource list. So now you know where to go to get the information you need to build your antibiotic stewardship team and program. So let's think about the steps you'll be taking to start. First, engage your antimicrobial stewardship champions. Second, incorporate antibiotic stewardship issues into your QAPI committee meetings. Third, schedule antibiotic stewardship education for all your professional staff. Fourth, train your nursing staff to promote accurate clinical assessment of residents. And fifth, communicate your antibiotic stewardship initiatives and policies to staff, families, and visitors. There are 10 steps. We've just discussed the first 5, which are those that you need to get it started. At a minimum, the antibiotic stewardship program team should include several individuals with different responsibilities in the nursing home, such as the administrator, director of nursing, assistant director of nursing, the medical director, the quality improvement nurse, and the infection preventionist. Including nursing home leadership will help the program receive adequate support and attention and improve the likelihood it will succeed. It's also important to include outside consultants, such as the consultant pharmacist, perhaps another prescribing clinician, maybe a lab representative, and possibly an information technology staff member if your facility uses electronic health records. And did I hear someone say, please don't forget to invite a resident or family representative? So once you have your team in place, make sure you go through each of the 7 elements from the CDC. The core elements in nursing homes include leadership commitment. This is leadership committing resources to a formal antibiotic stewardship program. Accountability, identifying the accountable facility champions to oversee the stewardship program. Drug expertise, and your pharmacy should be ensuring they have consultant pharmacists with antibiotic stewardship training on board. Next is action, implementing policy and interventions to improve antibiotic use. Then tracking, monitoring that antibiotic use and outcome measures. Reporting, which goes back to the staff. And lastly, education of staff, prescribers, residents, and families. Now, some facilities, interestingly, have decided not to include their administrator on the antibiotic stewardship team. I'd say think long and hard about this. They are ultimately responsible for the outcomes in the building, and the administrator has the power to commit resources. The administrator has the leadership skills required to implement the program throughout the building. Antibiotic stewardship is a paradigm shift for many, and the administrator can ensure everyone is on board. Antibiotic stewardship is not a program that should be left up to the nursing department alone. This also is a program that your medical director can be very active in and play a strong role. There can be instances where an occasional physician is uncomfortable with this shift in antibiotic use, and it's important to listen to their concerns. Remember, Antibiotic stewardship is not withholding antibiotics when they are needed. That's actually worth repeating. Antibiotic stewardship is not withholding antibiotics when they are needed. Now, if your medical director has already seen the resources that we've discussed on the resource list and they seek more on the level of the physician, please encourage them to visit AMDA's website, also known as the American Medical Directors Association, because this website has an antimicrobial stewardship session specifically for medical directors. Going back to your team in your building for antibiotic stewardship, how about the director of nursing, the person with the most fun job in the building? We wouldn't want to leave them out. Many of the things that a DON or an ADON does as a team member for antibiotic stewardship are actually already in their daily responsibilities. They're going to ensure that nursing is involved and understands the program, not just the what to do, but the why we're doing it. It's important to have the nursing staff step up their game to assess, monitor, and communicate changes in condition and make sure lab and diagnostic test results get to prescribers quickly. The nursing staff are the ones monitoring the orders of antibiotics, so you'll oversee the system to ensure antibiotics are prescribed only when appropriate. Now remember, the prescriber's confidence in the ability of the nursing staff to properly assess and communicate changes in condition can make a difference in getting your prescribers to go along with the program. Getting your nursing staff to the next level will not only make your antibiotic stewardship program successful, it can have significant impact on rehospitalizations and resident and family satisfaction as well. Now remember, too, there's a secret weapon in your arsenal for antibiotic stewardship. It's your consultant pharmacist. These folks are brilliant. They know more about antibiotics than anyone else in your facility. So please, please don't make the consultant pharmacist an afterthought. Get an appointment on the books and utilize their expertise. Oops, don't forget to invite your quality team member. Antibiotic stewardship practically begs to be a performance improvement project. Your quality nurse knows how to set PIPs up, and PDSAs will flow from antibiotic stewardship programs, as will root cause analyses for those residents who did receive antibiotics that did not meet certain criteria. And here's someone you did not forget to invite, the infection preventionist or IP nurse. Yeah, they're already in the antibiotic stewardship game. Over coffee before they get to each day at work, they're already thinking, I wonder how many new antibiotics were started last night. Will there be new cases of diarrhea? I can't wait to see the urine results. The IP nurse will understand what you're going to measure and why. You want them there for their expertise. And, oh, it's so tempting, and you want to do it because they know an awful lot about infection control and prevention. But please, please do not unload the whole antibiotic stewardship program on the infection preventionist. They can own pieces like surveillance, tracking, analyzing, reporting, and feedback, and that is a part of the program. But the infection prevention nurse cannot be the antibiotic stewardship program. You need a team, and they all will have duties. Now, here's something most of us didn't do 20 years ago. We didn't think to invite residents and family members as part of our committees that involve clinical and operational decision-making. Now we know getting the resident and family's perspective is extremely important if you want programs and outcomes to be successful. So enlist their help. This change in the way we look at antibiotics is new to them, too, and we can't assume they understand it just from watching the news. Also, I can guarantee you that a surveyor will want to see how you educate families and residents about your antibiotic stewardship activities. There are many opportunities to engage residents and families, like family meetings, admission conferences, resident council meetings, and then think about running stories about antibiotic stewardship in facility newsletters and putting up posters in high-traffic areas. So where in the world can you find information on antibiotic stewardship that's appropriate for residents and their families? Well, we've got you covered. because the CDC, AHRQ, World Health Organization, and others have information, posters, and more. On your resource document, there is a resident and family education section with links to the various content. So please don't forget these important players in your antibiotic stewardship journey. Alrighty, we jammed a lot of information in today's call, and frankly, this topic could easily go 6 hours, no exaggeration. Please feel free to send any questions my way. The contact information is on the slide deck, but also you can email me at tmandela@hqi.solutions. That's tmandela@hqi.solutions. Thanks for joining me today, and together we can be very good stewards.
Thank you, Teresa. I'm going to go ahead and end the recording, and then I will unmute the lines, and if you have questions, you can ask them at that time. And I just wanted to remind everyone that a copy of the slide deck from today, as well as resources, are available on the Leading Age Maryland website. Go to www.leadingagemaryland.org, click on Education and Events, choose Tuesday Stand Up, and scroll all the way to the bottom of the page for May 30th.